My name is J. Matthew Barnes. The goal of New Wine is simply this: to talk about what it looks like to follow Jesus in the real world. This is the third New Wine podcast, and here's what we'll do this time. We'll discuss what it means to be sent incarnationally. Experts say that when we communicate with people in person, that most of the communication happens non-verbally. Our posture, hand motions, standing or seating positions, facial expressions, tone of voice, etc., all help bring meaning and emphasis to whatever it is that we're trying to say. In fact, a researcher named Albert Mehrabian has found that as much as 93% of communication is nonverbal. 93% of communication is nonverbal. That's crazy. When I first heard this information, I doubted it. I thought there was no way that almost all of face-to-face communication was nonverbal. But the more I thought about it, the more I began to see that Mehrabian's research seems to be on point. Here's a great example. Written communication. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to be misunderstood when writing to people? I'm 100% sure that everyone listening to this podcast has sent an email, a text, or a letter that was received in a way that you didn't intend. But if you said the same thing face-to-face with all your nonverbal cues, then things probably would have been much clearer. Another great example happens when I'm arguing with someone. I often say one thing with my words, but my nonverbal cues say something else. I may say, "I'm sorry," with my words, but my body, my tone, my attitude, and my posture say, not only am I not sorry, but you should be the one being sorry. And it's with all of these ideas in mind that I want to turn to the idea of being sent incarnationally. This notion of being sent incarnationally requires a lot of unpacking, so here we go. In the second New Wine podcast, I talked about how each and every follower of Jesus is sent. No one's excluded. Being sent isn't reserved for just pastors and missionaries, no. From baby Christians to longtime followers of Jesus, each and every single one of us is sent by God to be on mission. There's no room for sit-on-the-sidelines Christianity. We're all starting players on God's team. But if we're sent in the wrong way, we can do a ton of harm and not much good. What do I mean by this? What do I mean that we can be sent in the wrong way? Well, if we realize we're sent, and we go out to follow Jesus in the real world, but with the wrong attitude, then we can cause great harm. If we feel sent out to point out the sin of others and to be judgmental, then we're doing it incorrectly. In John 16:8, Jesus plainly says that it's the role of the Holy Spirit to prove to folks that they are sinful, not ours. And if we go out into the real world thinking that we want to show how good or how holy or how smart or how hip we are, then we've missed the boat too. Now, don't imagine that there are many of us who would actively think about ruthless self-promotion as we try to follow Jesus. But I do think without proper checks and balances that this could become a real problem. Furthermore, we follow Jesus, the same Jesus who constantly pointed away from himself to the Father. Thus, we should be more like him, ensuring that the Father gets the glory and not us. And if we try to follow Jesus in the real world, but only in ways that require little investment and energy, people will see this, and the good news of Jesus and his kingdom will not be shared in the way we intended. Again, we follow Jesus, the same Jesus who gave all of who he was, even his very life, for the benefit of others. We should be willing to invest deeply into the lives of others, as we are sent into their midst in order to share and embody the gospel. So how should we be sent? What should characterize our going? The answer is one adverb, incarnationally. But what does it mean to be sent incarnationally? Let's start by defining the word incarnation. In English, it's a compound word, combining the prefix in, which just means in, with a root word carnation, which has to do with flesh. Think carne as in the Spanish word for meat. So when we talk about Jesus' incarnation, we're talking about how Jesus came in the flesh. Jesus was truly human and truly God. This idea of Jesus' humanity, his incarnation, is a great mystery that the church has been wrestling with for over 2,000 years. But the truth of the idea is found in the Bible. In John 1:14, the word says this, that the word, that is Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. But why is Jesus' incarnation significant as we talk about being sent? Well, in John 17:18 and John 20:21, Jesus says that his followers are sent in the same way that he was sent. And in what way was that? Jesus was sent incarnationally. To use John's language, if Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling among us, then we should take on flesh and make our dwelling among those to whom we are sent. What does it mean for us to take on flesh? Don't we already have flesh? We have bodies? Of course we do. But we need to be reminded of that from time to time. Many of us Christians act like we're perfect. We act like we aren't human. We pretend that we have it all figured out and that we don't have any struggles. We do this around other followers of Jesus because we don't want them to think that we're slipping. And we do this around people who are far from God because we don't want to, quote, hurt our witness, unquote. There are a ton of problems with this mindset. Think about a few of them with me. If we deny our humanity and our brokenness around other Christians, then firstly, we're lying because none of us is even close to being perfect. And secondly, we're denying ourselves and others the real support that all of us need. If I present myself as perfect, then people will think I have it all together. And when others present themselves as perfect, I assume they have it all together. The truth is that none of us have it all together, and that we need to support one another through this crazy thing called life. Even worse, though, is when we pretend to be perfect around our family and friends who do not follow Jesus yet. Won't being honest with them about ourselves and our failures hurt our witness and prove that God isn't all that powerful because we haven't changed? No. Being human among people who are far from God will demonstrate that God loves all kinds of people. It will prove to them that Jesus is the friend of sinners, and we're all sinners. And maybe most importantly, being honest about our sinfulness and our humanity will help us be less judgmental. Study after study after study keep revealing the same thing. People think that Christians are judgmental. And they're right. We are. We judge other Christians, and we judge people who don't follow Jesus yet, too. If judgment was a drug, we'd all be addicts. But if we're sent into the world and we embrace and are honest about our frailties and our failures, then it would be much harder for us to be judgmental. And as we set aside our judgment, we can begin to be known for something good, like love or service or kindness or patience, etc., rather than being known for being judgmental. So just as Jesus took on flesh, we should remember that we are sent in the flesh, in our humanity and sinfulness. John 1:14 also says that Jesus made his dwelling among us. That's another aspect of being sent incarnationally, dwelling with the people to whom we are sent. This could be very literal. If you feel sent to the inner city to share and embody the good news of Jesus and his kingdom there, then maybe literally dwelling there could be helpful. Veteran Christian community developers and missional practitioners would certainly agree. In fact, my wife and I felt called to a particular neighborhood in Pasadena, California. Through some God-ordained events and circumstances, we moved there. And I can attest firsthand that presence is a very powerful tool in the toolbox of the sent follower of Jesus. It matters to folks that you're there, that you're around, and that you're not going anywhere. But dwelling with people to whom you are sent can be figurative as well. This can simply mean getting to know them deeply. Learn about them and from them. Eat their food. Shop in their stores. Listen to their stories. Learn to enjoy their music, etc., etc. Dwell with them. Spend time with them. Folks will quickly sniff out any efforts on our part to try to serve, care, and love from a distance. They'll see us looking at our phones, checking our clocks and calendars, and thinking about other things. Really, the idea of dwelling with people is simple. Be fully present and listen attentively. For us in our neighborhood, dwelling with our neighbors hasn't just meant that we moved in next door. It's also meant that we find ways to spend time together, whether it's by cooking out some link sausages and hamburgers, or simply by taking the time to chat when we see one another on the street. Dwelling with them has meant learning about the history of our neighborhood from them directly, listening to their stories, their pain, their victories, and their concerns. Dwelling with them has meant presence. But being present doesn't come without a cost. It takes time, energy, effort, and yes, sometimes even money. Being sent as Jesus was sent incarnationally isn't easy or free. It's messy and costly and difficult, but there's no other way to be sent successfully. And if it's true that we're all sent, and it is, then this cost of being sent incarnationally is something that every follower of Jesus should be willing to pay. Let me put this another way. Jesus is calling us to love. Being sent incarnationally means being sent in an honest and loving way. And love requires sacrifice. How do I know this? Well, try loving someone in a way that doesn't cost you anything. Is that love? No. Love means consistently choosing to put the interest of another before your own. That requires sacrifice. Therefore, being sent incarnationally will require sacrifice too. So our non-verbals matter as we live out our sentness. People will notice if we're being holier than thou. They'll quickly catch on to judginess. They'll see right through our efforts to love them without having to sacrifice anything. So instead of those postures, being sent incarnationally calls for some other kinds of posture. Here are just a few. Humble. We need to be humble. We must be sent out in humility. None of us has all the answers. None of us is perfect. None of us can save anyone. Our only job is to tell other beggars that we too are beggars who have been shown where to find food. Another posture that we need to have is to be fully present. We must be there when we are there. If we feel sent to a certain area or to a certain people, but when we're with them, all we can think about is whatever we left behind to be with them, then we aren't being present. Another posture we need to have is to be sent in community. Jesus was born into a community, a family. He lived in a community, Nazareth and later Capernaum, and he formed a community, the disciples. We too need to have a posture that says we aren't trying to be the Lone Ranger pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. Another way that we need to be sent is to be sent in a shockproof kind of way. There's not much that's more judgmental feeling to someone than when we're shocked at whatever it is that they've just revealed about themselves. So instead of being shocked by things, we need to try to do our best to take things in stride. Maybe the best way for us to do this is by remembering how far from God we'd all be if not for Jesus' sacrifice for us. And instead of being shocked by information that's shared with us, we can use it as connecting points as we build relationships. And another posture we need to have is that we need to be loving. We've already talked about this some, but love means being willing to set yourself aside for someone else. And when we're sent to folks, but aren't willing to love them in this way, they'll notice. As people say in my neighborhood, you might have the save a brother syndrome, which means you want to sweep in, do good, and get out quickly before getting too involved. That's not very loving. So here's the point. We're sent as Jesus was sent, and he was sent incarnationally. He came in the flesh, and he dwelt among us. Are we willing to admit that we're fleshy too? Are we willing to be human, to be frail and flawed? And are we willing to dwell among those to whom we are sent? Are we willing to know them deeply and be present among them? Thanks for exploring this notion of being sent incarnationally with me. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, then please subscribe to my podcast on iTunes. And also check out my website, jaymatthewbarnes.com. That's jaymatthewbarnes.com. Thanks for your time. Grace and peace.